Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dambia. And join me in this week's episode where I engage in a captivating conversation with the brilliant Kola Adetu, who, similar to myself, takes significant interest in philosophy and metaphysics. In this episode, we delve deep into the realms of metaphysics, duality, and entropy, exploring the profound questions that have fascinated humans for centuries. Kola has worked in the field of metaphysics, and he guides us through the intricate world of abstract concepts and the nature of reality. Together with myself, we unravel the mysteries of existence, pondering questions like, what is the nature of reality? How do we perceive and interact with the world around us? Is there a fundamental duality in the universe? And if so, what implications does it have on our understanding of life, consciousness, and existence? In this stimulating episode, our guest, Kola, challenges conventional thinking, introducing unique perspectives on metaphysical principles and the concept of duality in the human experience. Kola's profound insights will leave you contemplating the very fabric of the universe and our place within it. Furthermore, we delve into the fascinating topic of entropy, examining how this fundamental concept from thermodynamics might have profound implications for our understanding of order and chaos in the cosmos and in our lives. As Kola and I explore the intersection of metaphysics, duality, and entropy, we shed light on how these ideas can transform our perception of the world and inspire us to explore the deepest questions of existence. Over the last 23 years of his life in the UK, Kola came from being a refugee for 19 years in the UK, unable to work, travel, and even finish university, to getting his settlement in the UK in 2018 and becoming a father. He has discovered, studied, and practiced a set of sciences that allow him to remain resilient and be emotionally regulated, irrespective of the conditions of his environment. Mesmerize feelings and to get beyond the autonomic primitive responses of his biology that are live-wired for survival. His passion is to teach these sciences and empower people from all different walks of life to get into the quantum field beyond the realm of time and space. The quantum field is a realm of possibilities. It is a self-organizing, self-creative, and self-initiating force that consistently and constantly gives us life without our will, and it knows more than us. Please find Kola online at kolaattitude.com or on Instagram at kola.attitude. And if you could leave a 5-star review or comments in the comment section at the end of this episode, I would truly appreciate it. Brief word for our sponsors. So I would like to talk about deodorants because I'm tired of constantly replenishing my deodorant and then having to worry about disposing those plastic containers. There's a solution for that. Wild. Wild provides a eco-friendly, all-natural deodorant with a sustainable design. They provide a for-life aluminum case. For me, they sent me a personalized case with my name on it. And did I mention you can customize your orders and have these refills delivered straight to your door? This is an all-natural solution where there's no aluminum in the product, just in the case. Go to wearewild.com and use code EASY at checkout for 25% off your first order. All right, Kola, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast today, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me and have this conversation with me. I'm really excited to talk to you and learn from you. I've seen some of the things you talk about online and social media, and it inspired me to reach out to you and have this opportunity to explore a part of the, I guess, the natural sciences that we don't necessarily think about or incorporate into our daily lives, because I find that most of the time we're just walking around blindly, as it may be. So yeah, but before we get
down that path, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners and let us know a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Cool. Thank you, Farhan. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's an honor to be invited as a guest on someone's podcast. And, you know, I always believe that, you know, as living organism, you know, we are meant to educate one another. We're meant to lift one another. We are meant to support one another. And that's the way a living organism in nature behaves. But of course, you know, like one of my mentors or one of my people that I admire in their quantum biology world is to say that we are a very silly talking monkey who happens to have a very big brain. And so it's very interesting that, you know, that it's interesting. I'm diving straight into it. Anyway, I'll stop myself. My name is Kola Adetu, and I'm based in England, and I've been in England since the age of 17. And, you know, when you come to England from Africa, it's a completely different reality, right? And you don't even know what it's like, because in Africa, people don't travel very much, you know, unless you come from a more like a rich family. Even a rich family in Africa don't travel. So it has been a very interesting journey for me from the age of 17, arriving in England back in 1997. And for the years, you know, I was lucky that I had a background in Christian spirituality, you know, and that kind of gave me an understanding of a higher power, you know, this thing that is called in the Christian tradition, the Holy Spirit, right? Of course, they talk about God, but their force that this God is the Holy Spirit, so to speak, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a very young age, I've been very engaged with that aspect of Christian practices. And that has really, really helped my young mind at that time to kind of seek, you know, God and to be more, to think like him, you know, like Bible says, to think like him, to talk like him, because we are made in his image. Yes. And, you know, you can imagine 17 years old. And at that time as well, you know, I had some immigration issues, and that took me almost a long time to resolve. And, you know, it took me a really big chunk of my life. I'm not going to mention, but it took a very chunk of my life to resolve these immigration challenges. But those are the places that really shapes me to really figure out that, you know, it does not matter. What matters is your ability to connect with other beings, with other human beings. You know, what matters is that emotional intelligence. And that has shaped my world, you know, for the last 26, 27 years. You know, it has shaped my understanding of the brain, of diet, you know. And I'm so grateful for all those journey. Now, even though at that time when I was collecting those experiences, they don't feel like diamond, they don't feel like anything else, but you kind of understand that emotions is the driving force. And that is what got me through, that emotion is the driving force of life, is the ultimate power. And I can remember vividly listening to Anthony Robbins, you know, on emotion. And if you know Anthony Robbins, back then he has this same case called Personal Power, this CD. I can't remember where I got them from. I really cannot remember where I got them from. I think I got it from my local library back then, when I used to live from my local library, because that library have very big, extensive material. So I was able to get some of this material from the library, which is very weird and rare. So, and I kind of have this understanding that life is emotion, that the quality of your life is the emotional, the consistent emotional experience that you have. And that was Andy Robbins, really. And that kind of drive me. And then I came across Tolle Eckhart at that time, because there are things in my life that I couldn't change, right? No matter how much powerful I feel, I just couldn't change it because they are political, you know, things. And I had to come to accept my life. And it's, you know, I have to come to accept and be in the present moment rather than trying. I mean, it's all right to move towards a goal to, you know, and as a young person, as you know, we think that achieving that goal would make us happier. And maybe those on some level, both. However, you still have this relationship to life, relationship to yourself that you still have to be with and develop, right? And life is not like a straight line linear where you just have this this monotonous experience. It's varied. So, you know, Tolle Eckhart taught me that, you know, if you can be with the present moment, you know, you can transcend time, you can be awareness. And that really, 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 you know, to the point where in 2012, I took part in a Iboga ceremony. I'm not sure whether you know about Iboga. It's this tree bark. It's this tree. It's this, you know, psychedelic tree bark in Africa, mainly in Cameroon. And it's called, you know, Iboga tree, Iboga. And the main essence of this wood is actually to help you access stillness, to help you access deep, deep stillness within you. It's more has to do with the gut area, this particular wood, unlike the ayahuasca, which is very brain and, you know, all kind of fireworks going. You know what I mean, right? But this is more like be in your body, be in your belly. Right. And that was inspired by Tolle Eckhart. And that's what I wanted, like to experience more stillness, you know. And that was an incredible experience because, you know, coming from a Christian background and ending death in 2022 and exploring Anthony Robbins, Tolle Eckhart, yoga, and then coming into Iboga tree. And that kind of really transformed my experience of the world. Like there are things on this planet that are meant for humanity to take part in and to evolve. And now I'm very much into, over the years now, you know, I'm now a father and I'm very much into the neuroscience of human experience, so to speak. I'm very much involved with the neuroscience of how we experience life, you know, and you can say, you know, we experience life from how our brain is wired. And there are two ways that, you know, our brain is wired to experience the world. And for majority of human, we have this trauma. And this trauma, it's the mark of, it's the hallmark of our, you know, species. And, you know, it's what makes us human. It's not bad. And it's not like something, trauma is not a bad thing. But however, being alone in that trauma is what really dysregulates people. It's what really makes people go crazy, make people take their own life, you know, make people hurt other people. It's not actually the trauma, because the trauma is the hallmark of, you know, these, you know, silly talking monkey that we are. And the brain can also be in a creative state, right? You know, in a trauma brain or in a creative state. And, you know, that is very much part of my work. And I'm also inspired by quantum mechanics as well, quantum physics and quantum biology recently, because, you know, quantum physics is the basis of life, is how life works. Right. And it's really, you know, this is the spirituality of life, right?
Yeah.
What helps us to understand more of our spiritual experiences, right? You know, you can actually code your spiritual experiences in quantum language, so to speak. You know, and that is part of my work. And now I am actually training to be a clinical hypnotherapist. And so a lot of my work is now moving towards that, towards hypnotherapy kind of, you know, modality. And the reason why I actually choose hypnotherapy, because it's actually working with the subcortical part of our brain, what is called the subconscious mind, right?
Yes.
And it's working with the brain, right? And that is the beauty of hypnotherapy. And it's kind of, you know, make you understand that we have the biological apparatus to transcend, right? To become, you know, to achieve, so to speak, greater awareness that yes, life is happening, right? Life is happening, but there's a place of awareness that is possible for us to move into, so that we become more aware.
Yes.
Aware that you're aware that life is happening.
Yes.
And that is the realm of consciousness and imagination. And so that is actually me right there in a nutshell.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And there's so many things to build on there and explore. So starting off first with something that really resonated for me, and I'll kind of give some context, but I was having a conversation recently with a friend, and we were talking about, okay, you know, often people that live in small towns or villages or back home in our motherland, they often look at us as we're exploring the Western world, and they wonder, like, what are you doing to yourself? And it is a bit of a challenge, right? So I know you were referring to Africa, and a lot of people still have stayed there, even though they're well off or they have wealth. But when you're in the Western world, you do get tested in different ways, right? And your attention gets diverted. One of the things I've been talking about and writing about is you end up worshiping idols. And I'll kind of give some additional context there, but we'll end up chasing titles or wealth or achievements or relationships and misdirecting our attention. And until we don't come back to ourselves and have that spiritual journey, we feel empty and lost. And that kind of goes into what you were talking about. And I think there's that metaphysical aspect and being able to not be able to explain it or define it. And that's where people get lost, because it's like, how can I believe in something that's not describable, that can't be put into words? And for me, the beauty of it is experiencing it without explain it. So anyways, I just wanted to build on you shared with your own experience, but also expand into the quantum side of things.
Yeah. Excellent. And, you know, when you have when you come from a spiritual background, like I have, in terms of Christianity, and, you know, and you have this life journey, this life experience that forces you to look deeper, right?
Yeah.
And we are a meaning making animal, right? We tell story, we tell ourselves stories, and that's the beauty of consciousness. And that's the beauty of the human brain and consciousness and this universe that is, right? And quantum, as you know, means quantum, a particle, a discrete unit of energy, right? Yeah. And we are made of these quantum particles. And I just want to jump ahead of myself a little bit and come back, because I've been, this book has been coming to my awareness recently, which is The Physics of Angels by Matthew Brooks and this British guy, British biologist. I forgot his name now. I don't know why. I saw him recently. And he was saying that angels, if you look at the behavior of angels, regardless of where you come from, if you look at the behaviors of angels, you can actually match it with quantum particles. They behave like quantum. They can be anywhere, anytime. They can be in two places as one, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the book was exploring, that, you know, what if angels are actually quantum beings that have achieved greater evolution and enlightenment, right? Because this planet has been here for, human being has been around for 25 million, over 25 million years, right? So what thing there is, and time, as we know, behave quantumly. Time behave quantum, space as well behave quantum, because right now you can remember your childhood experience of enjoying delicious meal with your family, right? You can go there in time and space and experience it in your body, because your body will create that chemical signature that represent that childhood experience, right? So you are more like warping space, time and space straight away. And it's as easy as that. And science tend to really not, they've not come to terms with that. That the human brain already, we are already a time traveler. We're already time traveling.
Yeah.
And if we come to that integrity of that, and we are doing that in a way to, we are doing that in a way to elevate, to support, to teach, to inspire our own human race, maybe nature can let us in on the secret or exploring different dimension, right?
Yeah.
Different civilization, right? Yep. Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, some scientists are saying that maybe, you know, we already, you know, in our imagination, in our ability, because all of the creative beings on this planet will give us computers, will give us all this creative thing we enjoy on this planet. They will tell you everything they have come to them from imagination, creative imagination. And we know that imagination is a non-local phenomenon, right? So I'm going to go back to angels. And so they were exploring this thing that angels are behaving like quantum particles, right? And it's a very interesting phenomenon, because, you know, when we talk about angels, every human culture is aware of this thing, right? If you go to China, they will tell you that their ancient fathers talks about chariot of fire, right? You know, they have this symbol of chariot with fire, right? In the Bible, the same thing talks about, you know, chariot of fire, you know, on a, you know, biblical stuff like that. So, you know, who knows about, who, and this thing, like, what are they really talking about? like a chariot of fire in space traveling. And, you know, maybe they were using their whole world, that is, and their own culture to describe a quantum phenomenon.
Yes.
But, you know, but to just make it understandable on a basic level to everyone, you know, that listen to this podcast, that, you know, at the very, if you break down our bodies, you can break them down into tissues, right? And what are tissues made of? They are made of molecules, different molecules. And what are molecules made of? They're, you know, I mean, cells and molecules, right? And what are molecules made of? They're made of atoms, right? And we know that atoms are, you know, are mostly empty space. I mean, are mostly wave function, right? They're mostly wave function, right? And what I mean by wave function is that it's a cloud. It's just an empty space, cloud of energy. That is like, you know, they say that, you know, an atom is 99.999 empty space. So and the nucleus is like a, you know, it's like, can you imagine that, you know, a, what do you call this? These balls that people use to travel a lot. What's the name of the brand? Volkswagen? Volkswagen bug?
Oh, yeah. Yes. The bug. Yeah. The beetle.
Exactly. Imagine that beetle, right? In the whole of Colombia. That is the size of the nucleus. Mm-hmm. Right? That is the size of their electron, right? And in the whole of Colombia, and Colombia, if I'm right, is twice the size of America or something like that, you know? And it means that, you know, this electron could be anywhere. And can you imagine the size of Colombia, and there's this beetle van that is just there that represent this electron? It's like lost in space, right? It's completely lost in space in comparison, right, to Colombia. So that is how tiny, you know, that's how much empty space an atom comprise of. So, and now if you look at the human being, right, on the scale of a human being, we see a solid body, but we're made of atoms. So how can it be real that when I look at you, why don't I see a cloud of energy? Why do I see a physical being? And science still does not know why that is.
Yeah.
And of course, they are saying that we actually don't see things in space, that what we call material things is actually, you know, it's actually light, plasma, light, different state of matter. But, well, doesn't explain the fact that I'm just touching a physical thing, right? And that physical thing I'm touching is mostly empty space. It's just a cloud of energy. So, you know, how come I can look at a computer, I can look at you, I can, you know, you can look at people and you can see them solid there. How come you don't see empty space? How come you don't see a cloud of energy in superposition of different state? Because that's the behavior of these quantum particles. They can be, they can be in different state. They can be in any place at once. So this thing, you kind of, you know, there's a place where, you know, scientists can talk about it, like objectively. But what about the human subjective experience?
Yeah.
Because if I listen to one of the top scientists in, you know, quantum, one of the quantum researcher in America, they will tell you that, you know, they will say that no one ever feel like they are in superposition of different state.
Right.
That's what they will say. So I'm happy that they are thinking along that direction.
Right.
That I don't feel myself in different state of possibility, in different state, in different probabilities, in different state of probabilities. I don't feel myself. This particular scientist say that on a podcast. And I was like, well, I'm really happy that they are thinking along that direction because, you know, we are not going to wait for science to tell us that, you know, if you look at kids, they can tell you, daddy, look, I'm a aeroplane.
Yeah.
Better than an aeroplane, right?
Yeah.
And we know that every thought, every feeling, every thinking, feeling state that we have a chemical signature to it.
Right.
They have a chemical signature to it. And that is where the ball stops. If you think about the greatest love of your life right now, or whoever you love right now, there's a chemical signature. It's not just a thought. Boy, you are here with me.
Yep.
You are here with me, but you are somewhere else. You are in a circumstance where things are not going so well, but you are chemically, emotionally in a different state of peace, of connection. That is being in different state of capabilities, right? That is for a human being. And I'm just talking, you know, as an ordinary person, and I'm sure there are shamans that can do crazy stuff with our state, right?
For sure.
You know, and there are other properties of quantum biology that talks about, you know, the soul interaction with our bodies, right? How when the soul, you know, we experience heat from the sun, but when melanin is like a semiconductor, when it captures that heat, it turns it into electricity. Thermodynamic effect. So when we experience thermodynamic effect, which is how energy moves in a system, right, from the sun, in our body, we have a semiconductor called melanin on our skin that takes that heat and change it into electricity. And guess what? All your nervous system is electricity. Your mitochondria is electricity. They are nanomachines in the mitochondria, right? They take that energy from the sun, try and make it into electricity to power your whole body.
Right.
That is a quantum system, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say that because the behavior, the movement of these particles, of this thermodynamic effect from the sun, is not something that we see with our eyes. You don't see this electricity with your eyes. You don't see this melanin with your eyes. You don't see the sun. You know, you know, if you look at the electromagnetic wave, there are some spectrum that we can see with our eyes, and there are some spectrum that we cannot see with our eyes. And as you know, some of the thinker in quantum biology says that, you know, there's a reason why the one that we cannot see have greater effect on our biology.
Right.
Because if we can see it, we're going to affect the state. And on some level, we are still affecting the state with our emotional state.
Right. Yeah.
But if we see this spectrum of light with our eyes that we don't see now, well, we will be interfering with different reality. Because those spectrum of light, they are different realities, right? They are different realities that we are connected to, but we cannot see it, but they are affecting us. But now, if we now see it, God knows what, right? Might be possible. You know, like, for example, a frog can see photons of light. Well, we cannot see it.
Right.
A frog can see it, right? A frog have the ability to see it. So what I'm saying is there is this aspect of living in a quantum universe that is called allergy. Mm-hmm. But because we are also one of nature's force, and that is very important to know. We are one of nature's force, mm-hmm. right? We have incredible imagination, which is mm-hmm. dangerous. See, we've shaped our universe. We've shaped, you know, different material, even subatomic element. We've tapped into nanoparticles. We've shaped, you know, the laws of nature to suit us, right? Mm-hmm. And can even alter the course of our own biology right. with our thoughts, with our emotional state. Our emotional state, you know, people tend to forget that, you know, when we have emotion, that emotion is a chemical signature. And this chemical signature is also an electromagnetic signature because physics is the basis of life, mm-hmm. right? What is biology? Biology is applied chemistry,
right?
What is chemistry? Applied physics, right? So physics is, quantum physics is the basis of life, which is why it fascinates spiritual beings like us to want to explore quantum physics, because it's explaining our behaviors. You know, we have telepathic experiences, mm-hmm. you know, with people we love, even, you know, with people we love, even the things we imagine ourselves doing, you know, these are telepathic, non-local experiences. You know, imagination is non-local experiences, right? Imagination. You can be anyone and in any place, you know, you can be anyone because the end result of any experience is emotion. And these mm-hmm. are quantum behaviors. You know, these are quantum phenomenon, right? And
yeah.
But because as well, we are also part of a quantum system that is called, we're also part of the solar system, of this mm-hmm. Earth system, right?
Yeah.
The main source of energy on this planet. You know, we are also a solar being. We are also like a sun, you know, because we emit photons.
Yeah.
We emit light as well. We are also a sun on our own. But because we are also part of a larger system, that is the solar system, right? So it makes sense. And this system is interdependent, right? We're connected. Mm-hmm. So we still have to do quantum biology living, the way I call it. We still have to live our life as quantum beings. You know, we still have to have this quantum thermodynamic effect from the sun.
Right.
We still have to, and as you understand that all of our food revolve around the sun. Our food, seasonal food, revolve around the sun. Right. Yeah. It revolve around the sun. And the more you eat food that are seasonal, because food comes from the sun. It's like a code from the sun. So yep. it's a very fascinating reality, you know. And like I said at the beginning, that the brain is a quantum brain.
Yeah.
Everything about us is quantum. Everything is quantum. And it took me years. It took me years to really go over because we are conditioned, we are cultured to become materialistic. Mm-hmm. It's like we are conditioned backwards, you know, waiting for things to change in your external environment to change how you feel.
Right.
We are waiting. Sorry?
No, I said, yeah, you're right. We are always waiting for external circumstances to determine how we're going to respond.
I'm going to respond. And that's to some extent, it's not meant that way. That phenomenon of connecting to our environment, that's not the way it was meant. Right? And this is the tiny area that I recently stumbled upon where I think the line, the boundary is now getting blurred, where people are forgetting that we are not living in reality.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in man-made social reality, social system. Right. We are forgotten. So people are suffering, bothering God, so to speak, bothering God about whatever is going on in their life that they think is suffering, that they need God.
Yeah. But
what they're actually dealing with is not this abundant regenerative universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because this universe is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what has happened is because we have this big brain, right? We have given all of this land, oceans, this geography that we have, this earth, we have given them different interpretation that is turned it into prison. So people have forgotten that the suffering they are experiencing is not from life.
Right. It's
crazy.
Yeah, it's self-induced, right? And I do want to add a few things here to tie up a lot of the things you said, because there's so much to unpack. But one of the things I came across this morning was a quote from Werner Heisenberg. He's basically the pioneer of quantum physics. So he says, "The first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will turn you into an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you."
Amen.
And, you know, when you were talking about angels, I'm not sure what Christianity says, but in the Islamic faith, what we believe is angels are like they've completely surrendered to God. So they don't have this concept of free will, whereas us humans have free will. And as you were saying, we often forget about the fact that God's always there. One of the things I've realized, at least through learning more about my own faith, is God's always facing us. It is us that start facing away from him. And that's where we experience a lot of our displeasures, our pain, our suffering.
Yeah.
And it isn't until we turn back to him that we start realizing that, okay, yeah, I mean, there's so much that you covered in there in the quantum side.
Yeah.
But facing back to God, that spiritual journey is how we transcend all of this material world and experience that, you know, metaphysical aspect. I wanted to kind of take that angle now in terms of the whole, you know, understanding, yes, we are in this metaphysical world. Because even in the Islamic faith, they say the heaven and earth was one until they split the two. So how can you make that journey back, I guess?
It's beautiful. What everything you just said just now, you know, there's this quote, I can actually pronounce the name of this being that Mercedes said. It said, "The other world is this world rightly seen," right? The same thing you said. You know, we've split it. And this splitting, this fall from grace, this splitting that we are still doing, where we've, and it's also part of Cartesian dualism, where we separate spirit from science. We separate God from science.
Right.
And why that may be necessary at times, but we also must forget that the foundation of science is God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the greater scientist, so to speak, right? I mean, you know, and look at the natural world, for example. Look at the natural world. and look at also the history of humanity, why we keep enslaving each other. It's everywhere throughout history, everywhere throughout history. Even the Bible mentioned it. This addiction towards materialism that create greed and jealousy that makes us want to imprison other people to get more material thing.
Right.
Right. And there are different beings, higher beings that have come to this planet. Who knows who they are?
Yeah.
I've never met Jesus. I've never met Muhammad. Who knows who they are? Maybe they are angels. Maybe they are angels that just come to help us so that we can wake up quicker and stop enslaving each other. I don't know. Buddha, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, these people achieve great enlightenment that no other monkeys can do that, right? And for some reason, this, you know, if you look at all of the scientific breakthroughs, they also have a spiritual affiliation, atoms, you know, bombs, nuclear, chemistry, almost every religion. Almost, if you look at the depth of most religion, they have this understanding of atoms, right? You know, and why a lot of our understanding about science come from the West, I don't necessarily believe that they understand, they are the fourth person to understand atoms.
Right.
Leave it or take it. You know, Indian sages understand atoms way before Western, you know, people understand. Now, if you Google anything who came to understand atoms and electrons, they will tell you different, you know, Western name, right? From England, mostly from England, right? We have work to do, man. You know, but then we have spiritual sages who actually understand the basis of life.
Right.
The chemistry of life, the quantum physics of life. Way before, but all that we know, right? You and I, a lot of us, a lot that we know come from an Englishman. And this is not about being racist. I don't even talk about racism because I just think it's just bullshit. Well, I just think it's just some psychopaths trying to disguise their evil intention and using certain name to codify. No, just because people are just being psychopaths, you know.
Right.
You know, a psychopath doesn't matter which skin color that they are in.
Right.
They will figure out how to divide people. So I'm not going to go into
that. Sorry, and I just want to interject there. So I do think that's kind of back to that whole duality piece that you touched on, right? So everything in this world is duality except God, which is that singularity, that unity. But even within that duality, you've got that love and hate. And to your point, that racism is that part of hate, but how can we counter it with love? That's kind of how I look at it. A lot of the little issues we're seeing today also that are deriving from hate or separation is that effect of duality again, right?
It is. I mean, look at our planet today. We still have quantum physicists are struggling to accept that there is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can describe quantum behaviors in animals, in plant, they can describe all of that perfectly. But in human being, they will shy away.
Yeah.
Right? I have a quantum physicist here in England who made an amazing documentary who cannot even tell me that, you know, you should be going out to view the sun because it's a quantum phenomenon. It's a quantum interaction with the sun. You should be going as much as possible on barefoot because you get free electrons from the earth into your body that the sun now interact with. You know, it's called the photoelectric effect. Yeah. The sun only interact with electrons in your body, right? And if you are depleted of electron, which, you know, will make you very unhealthy, will make your mitochondria depleted, right? Your mitochondria, your redox potential will be shut down and you have a lot of inflammation in your body, which inflammation is the basis of diseases nowadays, right? So when you get the sun, you wouldn't like the sun. You will, you know, people complain about the sun, right? They complain so much, you know, they figure out the sun is very bad for you. Run away from the sun, right? Put sunscreen on your body, right? People are depleted. You know, now we have quantum physicists that can explain how a quantum robins can navigate itself from South America to England during summer. It can explain it brilliantly. It can explain how a tadpole turned into a frog because of proton electron tunneling, right? To shape the enzymes, to shape this collagen, which is actually the water networks, so that the tadpole turns into a frog. This is quantum phenomenon, right? But when it comes to human being, no, right? So this split that you talk about, this split, they're still maintaining the narrative about it. And it's as simple as saying that we are made of atoms. We are made of electrons and protons. We are made of, you know, of electron nutrients. We are made of these subatomic particles. And in each cell of your body go through over 100,000 chemical reactions per second. You really cannot conduct an experiment in a lab. It's insane.
Right.
And the cells of your body, your DNA, you know, in one moment you lose over 20,000 cells. And in that seconds, you gain another 20,000 new cells in your body. How the hell does that happen? Every day, you get 700 new cells in your hippocampus.
Right.
Every day, 700. How does that even occur?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are quantum thermodynamic living being. And what I mean by thermodynamic is that, you know, as energy moves towards entropy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, entropy increases, right? But because we also have circadian, right? It kind of resets in a way. There is syntropy. There is a self-organization mechanism that we go through every night, right? You get melatonin, which is like anti-entropy,
mm-hmm.
anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, anti-cancer, right?
Yeah.
Nature is anti-entropy. Nature
right.
is constantly rebuilding you every night, rebuilding you every night.
Yeah, yeah.
You get this? So this split, it's really the greater deception on our planet. It's no longer something that the devil is doing. If you believe none of those things, it's no longer what the devil is doing. No, we are the devil. We are the one who is maintaining this split. Because we know now, we have all the science.
Right.
We know now.
Yeah. Well, and I think the biggest piece is with science too, the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know as much. That's what's fascinating, right? And just to build on a few things you said, so again, kind of going back to, and again, I don't know what other traditions teach, but in the Islamic faith, it's very interesting you're saying, like, you know, when we go to sleep, there's this whole reset happening. So in our faith system, we basically consider going to sleep a mini death. So every morning you wake up, it's a resurrection. And to me, it's so fascinating, right? And I often think about that too. And it also allows me to look at life in a different sense, that every day is a new opportunity to course correct and live appropriate, despite what we've been led to believe. And a lot of, like I said, our misery and suffering is self-induced because we've continued to turn away from the truth and whatever that truth be for an individual. So it's all there.
It's all that. The truth is God. The truth is that God is everything and everywhere all at once, right?
Yes.
You know, David said that if I go to the bottom of the sea, you are there, right? If I try to hide in my darkness, you are there. God is the mother of all this quantum phenomenon.
Yeah.
Right?
Omnipresent, right?
Omnipresent. And as you said earlier, that, you know, angels have given up their free will because they realize that we can totally surrender to God. I don't need to have, I can totally surrender. And their beings, their biological makeup is totally refined. God knows for how many eons of years or how many learning and journey they have to go to reach that level of refinement, right? So, but we still have a free will. I can choose to disobey God, so to speak, by saying, okay, I'm not going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I'm going to go to bed at 12 o'clock. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Melatonin kicks in at 10 o'clock. So, but if you stay in front of TV, I mean, it's okay to break the law, you know, 1-2 times a week, and pay it back because you have to pay it back, right? But if you just mindlessly break the laws, right, this quantum behavior, because if you look at it, if you look at a sea turtle, this circadian phenomenon, this recycling, this thing that you talk about, that when you wake up every when you go to bed, you die and you resurrect. For this animal is coded into them. They do it automatically. They are also like angels. They do it automatically. They have no choice. They have to walk down to the beach when the sunlight is perfect, when the full moon is full, to lay their eggs. But of course, what we are also doing on the planet is disrupting the circadian behavior of this animal by through artificial light. We have street light. So this street light, which is LED based, interfere with the light spectrum of these animals, right? So they are laying eggs at the wrong time, and all other animals come to eat their eggs because the time is gone wrong. And this is the beauty. This is the beauty of time. Time is like the fruits. When you see a ripe fruit, when you see a well-seasoned human being speaking to somebody, you know, that is the fruit of time. That's the fruit of energy that we call time, right? That's the fruit of energy, right? That we call time, right? And that's the beauty of it. And this split is really, you know, it's really something, it's a lie we're not telling ourselves. Because we know that we know all the signs. We know that we are connected to this solar system that is called Earth. That, you know, it is, we are completely dependent on it. And the sun, that the morning sun that we get in the morning, have a particular type of light called infrared light that comes with it in balance with other spectrum of light called blue light or UV light. But what is dominant is the red light. And this red light regenerates it programs our eyes and our brains to produce melatonin. You can actually say melatonin is God's messenger, so that when nighttime comes, it releases and puts you to sleep. So you just die, like you said. You go to sleep, go to God, you die. Yeah. And then at around 4 o'clock, when the sun is rising again, another messenger of God comes up into your head called serotonin and wakes you up. And if you are smart and you wake up at that time and you start missing and you start to breathe and you start to meditate, whether lying down in your bed, and you start to do this diaphragmatic breathing, and you start to mix this chemical, because when we are breathing, we are applying pressure to the crystal, to this microcrystal in the pineal gland. We are applying through the cerebral spinal fluid, which goes through the aqueduct in the brain, and especially where the pineal gland is. That pressure of breathing, apply pressure on this microcrystal, and guess what? That begins to shimmer, produce electricity, photoelectric effect, piezoelectric effect. When you apply pressure on a crystal, it produces electricity. And this electricity begin to tweak this messenger of God to become more luminous, to become more God molecules, DMT, right? Begin to form. And then you go from there, you begin to feel love for God, creation. What is that? Oxytocin, right? Mm-hmm. And then keep going. You keep breathing and you keep your heart open. You keep breathing and you keep allowing this light to come into your body. And you keep focusing on that which is good and lovely and noble. And you keep breathing. Guess what? Your heart begin to dilate. Mm-hmm. And when the vessels of the heart begin to dilate, guess what? Another chemical begin to form called vasopressin. Right. And this vasopressin begins to mix together, begins to allow your body to store more water. And that means you are storing more light. Simple as that.
Right. And I would like to add, because I've looked into the physiological response when our body releases dopamine as well. And dopamine learned is released when you're in the pursuit of something, not when you achieve it. And I like to equate that to our spiritual journey, which is an endless pursuit. It's an endless pursuit because you'll never get there until the day you die.
Indeed.
And that, to me, a healthy and natural way of releasing dopamine rather than chasing
That's a good one. Yes, brother. That's a good one. You mentioned that, because I talk a lot with my client with dopamine, that you have to do. You have to do when you go and do. That's when our ancestors, when they go out and hunt and gather, they feel good. They were rewarded. And the reward they got was quite noticeable. And that chemical is dopamine. Those are also the messenger of God. Do more of that. Do more of that, right? And then you do more of that, you feel more good, right? Yep. Even when life goes down, right, there's this stronger coherence, stronger neural network in your brain that remembers God, that remembers moving towards God, and you will always want to go and do more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those things you are doing, pursuing your goal, pursuing God, seeking God, doing good, you know, they form neural networks. You see, proteins are the building blocks of life. Very fascinating. Are the building blocks of life. So when we are doing, right, it shapes these proteins to form a circuit. So that doing become permanent. So if you're doing bad, guess what? It's not going away. You're going to come back and come and clean it up. When you're done, come back and clean it up. I don't believe, I don't understand karma very much, but I kind of understand that is where it's going, right? So it's yours. You know, you have, you have to come back and clear up that field of information that you have tweaked based on your doing, right?
Right.
You know, it's a very, very beautiful, you know, and I'm grateful that I'm talking to you because this is also part of doing, part of feel good hormones. And, you know, I go back, I feel good. I say, I want to do more of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I think through this act of doing is how you turn on like DNA, right? And you continue to evolve as an individual. But I do want to kind of highlight one thing to bring it to an end. And I would like to get your thoughts on it too. But, you know, you talked about entropy earlier, which I equate to chaos in our, in the world around us, chaos just from a metaphysical perspective too.
And in biology, that is inflammation.
Absolutely. And I think the way you bring order to that chaos is through the act of surrendering.
Yes.
And you can determine what you want to surrender to, but a lot of these things in the material world, you surrender to it, sure, you achieve it, and then you're not really feeling fulfilled. So what's the one thing that is indescribable, formless, cannot be put into words? And that to me is God. And the more you surrender, it's an endless journey.
It is. And that is where, when we are breathing, when we bring our attention to our breath, that's the closest thing to God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we bring our, which is why every spiritual practices really emphasize that when we bring our attention to our breath, especially during those early hour of the morning, when the chemical, as you know, right, you're a spiritual being, you know, every spiritual test talk about waking up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God will speak to you, right? And in that, you know, you get a 24-hour cycle of melatonin, which is another messenger of God to repair your body, to repair all of the damages of stress or just normal living life, because the process of living life is very addictive and it's very, creates disorder, inflammation and along the way. So God gets to send this messenger called melatonin at 10 o'clock at night, and that kicks in up till 4 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
It kicks in from 10 p.m. to 4 p.m. And if you are smart and you've gone to bed at the right time, let's say go to bed at 10 o'clock, so you've had a proper good 6 hours of sleep. And I tell my people that if you are smart, you'll be meditating before going to bed, because when you meditate, you clear up a lot of stress that your body will have to process at night. So you are saying to God, God, I'm coming, and you know, I'm going to surrender to you. But if you don't clear your stress, you're just coming to the altar with bullshit.
Yeah.
With all your sins, so to speak, right? Mm. Rather than go to God with question, go to God with intention and say, God, I need more of you today. I need more profound understanding of my being, of your work, of your underwork on this planet. So when you clear your stress during the day, that's what, I mean, at night before going to bed, that's what you are saying to God.
Yeah.
That, you know, I want to come to you because I really need to spend time with you. And I'm not messing about. I want to be clear with myself. So I'm going to do my best to clear that. I know you're going to help me clear the stress, right? But I'm going to do more. I'm going to clear that stress before going to bed, before going to sleep. So when you fall asleep and you're at 4 o'clock, your sleep quality will be different to somebody who does not clear the stress. And that is from experience, right? Because the rapid high movement sleep kicks in around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, right? And if you've done, and that is the restorative sleep, right? That is where everything, God is actually communicating with your body and communicating with you. Rapid high movement sleep, right? Because you go into paralysis for 90 minutes, and you review all of the challenges that you want God to help you review, and you know, and that interaction take place, and you receive melatonin, and then when you process all those stress, you know, all those difficult misunderstanding of life, and God help you process it, because that's what stress is. It's just misunderstandings of life that you couldn't understand. And then when God help you process it, and you process it, and then with melatonin still coursing through your body, you wake up at 4 o'clock, and guess what? The sun, the first light, is already on its way. And that is serotonin. And when you now mix, when you wake up at that time where the first light of the day is coming and your body is releasing serotonin and you are smart, spiritually smart, and you wake up and you maybe lie down your bed, whatever way you find to breathe properly. I tend to lie down my bed and just do this diaphragmatic breathing, slow, very long exhale.
Yes.
Long exhale, shorter inhale, very slow. And then you hold it. And there's quite a lot of tweaking that's going on. And when you begin to tweak that and you are present and you're breathing and you're paying attention to your breathing, nothing else. For a lot of people, that would be a challenge for a month because they've never paid attention to their breathing ever, right? So paying attention to your breathing is like a bridge between you and God.
Yeah.
And when for very long time, when you do that for an hour, which is the amount I recommend, 45 an hour, when you do that and you get into zone and there is no separation between the person that is doing the breathing and what has been breathed, and you are just like a cascade of universe breathing, and you are going on, and the chemical process changes, tweaks from serotonin to dimethyl DMT, so to speak, you know, tweaks, and these molecules are blissful, you know, and you know, God become known to you. And this is not a mental aspiration. This is a physiological experience of God. And it's beautiful. Correct. And it's incredible. That's all I can say. It's incredible. Let's go and taste it.
I agree with you. It's that conscious awareness that you gain. And, you know, in my practice, it's also, we have that morning prayer before dawn. So something to be said there. But Kola, I do want to be mindful of your time. So I really appreciate this conversation. I feel like we can continue to go on. Maybe there should be a part two in the future. Before we bring things to a close, I do want to give you an opportunity to, you know, if the listeners want to find you online or get a hold of you or speak with you, what are some ways they can do that?
They can definitely find me on Instagram, which is where I do connect with a lot of people. They can DM me on there. That's my email as well on there. I got a website as well, but that hasn't got very much. They can leave details on my website as possible, but it hasn't got very much interaction. Of course, it's more like sending an email via my website. And I'm going to be updating that very soon as I'm completing my hypnotherapy as well. So yeah. And, you know, I'm very open with my Instagram. You know, you see me on there dancing, you know, you see me on there talking about social events, because, you know, we all live with other human beings and, you know, and we all need to talk about this thing. So I do talk about social. People ask me, why do you talk about all this social event? I have to talk about it because we are all thinking about these things. And when no one is talking about this, it drives us crazy. It's like when a parent are going through a difficult time and they're not talking to the kids, and the kids know something is going on and that thing keep going on, it drives the kid insane, right? So I'm saying that so people are not surprised when they see me talk about some of these events. But I do very much talk about, you know, neuroscience, brain trauma, stress. And, you know, and if people want to work with me, one-to-one, I do offer one-to-one session, I take people through understanding of the brain and how the brain has been shaped so that they understand their own machine that God gave them, which is called the brain, and they know what to do with it and how to help their brain. So, yeah. Thank you so much, Fuan. Thank you.
No, thank you for coming on here. Very much appreciate it. Super grateful.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Kola. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. Thank you again, and until next week.